Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, he had the closing ceremonies. It makes it sound like I'm talking about baseball. They had the ceremonies to mark the end of the cleanup of the World Trade Center today in New York. And it was a very moving ceremony. They had an enormous casket that represented the something like 1,700 people's bodies that have never been recovered. They rang a bell, and they basically marked the end of the cleanup. And, of course, I'm thinking, what are they going to put there? And I've heard people say, well, you know that it is the resting place of many dead, so it should be a memorial park. And some would like it to be a small collection of apartment houses. I don't know. And I don't really know what's appropriate. I know that you can memorialize anybody with anything. I know that you can put a plaque on a wall, or you can put a fountain in the middle of a square, you can put a statue someplace, you can put a marble edifice somewhere, and all of this can very adequately and very nicely memorialize people who have died, and I think that they should do that, but I really think that they should rebuild the World Trade Center to about one or two stories higher than it was. You know what I'm saying? You see, this is a propaganda war that we're involved in every bit as much as it is a military war. This is a war of symbols. This is a war of words. This is a war of threats. This is a war of threats being cast and never followed up on. What we ought to do is just kind of a little bit of a symbol of our own, a little bit of a threat backed up with some muscle. Let's rebuild that thing till it's about, how big was the World Trade Center? I don't even know. 110 stories? 115 stories sounds good to me. Make the top floor a mosque. I'm kidding about that. I don't think not that it would stop anybody. Not that you think for 1 minute an Islamic fundamentalist, whatever the hell they want to call themselves this week, would ever slow down even so much as a nanosecond in his murderous task if he knew he was going to kill other Muslims. He would not care for a second. Bin Laden, you could go to him the morning that they did the World Trade Center. You could go to Bin Laden that morning and say there are 6,000 just righteous Muslims in there, man. That's fine. Great. Get out of my office. We got to blow it up. But wait a minute, man. Forget it. I don't care. What do I care? I don't care who dies. If we all die, it's worth it. What's it worth, man? What is it worth? If we can just bring down this big entity called America that pisses me off because it's found a way to make life and society work on some remotely civilized level. It really angers us. Well, why is that? Because it's against the law, and the law is old, and the law is medieval, and the law is ancient, and it goes against all modern technology and modern invention, and things are going too fast, and I'm scared, and I'm wetting my pants. The most frightened people in the world are these people that don't want us to move into the future. They want to grab us by the throat and drag us into the past. We deal with them in this country. They're neo-Nazis. They're militia. They are people who think the country has turned too quickly, too far. They think that it's the courts have been used in too liberal a way. And, you know, everybody loves to badger and bag on liberals. But the other side of it is a conservative mindset that says we don't really move anywhere. We just kind of stay where we are. We just, because out there it's dark, out there it's unknown, and it's evil. Back in the 19th century, you may find this very interesting. Back in the 19th century, now we're not talking too long ago, when we were primarily a country on the East Coast, our furthest western outpost was the city of St. Louis. That was as far west. And beyond that, most people that lived in the cities didn't know what was out west. They did know, however, that because of all the stories that were brought back, that a race of half-man and half-beasts lived out here, like a half-beast man roamed the plains, and that if you went far enough out into the prairie land, you would find pillars of looking glass. Pillars of glass. These were the stories that people in Philadelphia and New York and Boston and Providence, Rhode Island, which in its day, Providence was like one of the biggest cities in America, they believed this stuff. Now, we think of that now and we, oh, what a bunch of dumbasses. Well, we're no different. We're no different. We look into the future sometimes And all we see is pillars of looking glass and half man and half beast. And we play with pseudoscience like UFO. And it's all because we have a fear. If you haven't gotten the message by now, you got to understand the country you live in, America, is the future. We represent the future. We are the future. There is no other country on the face of the earth that represents, embodies, and actively embraces the future like the country we live in, the United States of America. And if there is no America, there is a Dark Ages. And that's what these guys want to usher in. They get rid of us. They get rid of the last impediment toward returning to the Dark Ages. A time when women are beaten, when people's hands are cut off, when you cover up your face, when you beat yourself with ropes, when you distrust other religion, when you're violent toward people of other beliefs. A time when the mullahs and the theocrats have the full reign. We tried that theocracy thing in Europe a long time ago. It was called the Catholic Church and the Holy Roman Empire. And, Jim, it didn't work too good. We figured out it didn't work too good. It wasn't too hot. We got rid of that one real good. Got rid of that, then we moved on to the age of kings and monarchs. Didn't dig that. Now we're into our democratic cycle. Seems to be working pretty good. I dig it. I don't have any complaints. Oh, I understand. There's people who have lots of complaints. People don't have it as good as you, Henry. Who do you think you are? Well, I understand that. So go try it someplace else. You know, it's really, it's a very simple solution. Where else are you going to go, Charlie? What else are you going to do? Where else are you going to live? Who else are you going to be? Well, I can move to Norway and, okay, go to Norway. Jesus. You know, Sweden's very progressive. Yeah, it's fine. Sweden. Yeah, I understand they got good-looking women. Here's a little news flash for you. We got a few of them over here, too, and they ain't all blonde. The World Trade Center, simply going down last September, was a symbol of the coming times. It is a war between yesterday and tomorrow. We happen to be on the side of tomorrow. We happen to be on the side of stepping into the future. That's what this country's always done. And the world is deathly afraid of that. America, in many ways, yeah, okay, leads the way. I don't want to sound Reagan-esque, but I suppose we are in a lot of ways the shining city on the hill. I mean, we try things here, man. That's all I'm saying. In this country, we try things. We give this a shot. We give that a shot. And here's the kind of music that we listen to. And over here, we're going to try something else. And we got all kinds of different organizations and study groups and focus groups and forums and clubs and wildlife preserve agencies. And we got everything in this country that says, let's try something else. My show, the way we do our show, the Phil Henry Show, is a departure from the way talk radio has been for the last 40 years. You think it's going to happen anywhere but here? Where's it going to happen? I'm going to go on Radio Poland and do this? Imagine me doing funny voices on Radio Peking. Yeah, it's great. We don't have any calls, but thanks for doing that voice, man.
You're welcome.
And those guys that took down those towers, they want yesterday. They want to embrace. They are a bunch of old, cragged out, mullah, head, turban wrapping, medieval. They're just like those guys that were torturing the heretics in the Spanish Inquisition. They're no better than those sour, dark, baroque, those draconian old monks that used to torture people. It's just a different religion. It's the same thing, though. So I say we rebuild those twin towers, about 10 stories higher than the old ones. I've heard build two little ones off to the side with a big one. It looks like a big finger. Yeah, whatever. That's fine. I'm down with that. I mean, it's a little sophomoric. But I do believe we ought to rebuild them, make them a monument to the people that died there, make them a living monument, meaning there's people in those buildings. They're going about their business. They're living their lives. They, you know, is it a statement saying we won't be defeated? Yeah. Yeah. What's wrong with that? You know, a year ago, I wouldn't have believed that I'd be talking this way. A year ago, I believed that America's militarism was rooted basically in a colonialist mindset, which is, who can we screw up over there in Asia or Europe so that we can get more business interest for America? I believe that, and I think we operated that way for a long time. I believe that's what the Vietnam War was all about. I believe to some extent that's what the Gulf War was all about. And by the way, that Gulf War, what a winner, huh? Saudi Arabia really happy and thankful that we fought on their side in that one. Aren't they just the most grateful people there in Saudi Arabia? Just so grateful. I have said it before, I'll say it again. You talk about sticking a shank deep into your back. Those guys know how to do it. And then they took out those TV ads. Did you see that? Saudi Arabia. Do you want to hear the truth or the bull crap? We love America, and we're just... Why don't you guys take that money and send it to a couple of those poor Palestinians who are strapping bombs to themselves? Which brings me to my next point. History is a great teacher. Should I take a break? Then I'll give you a... I got a really good point I want to make, man. About history and about countries that are defeated and how you know when someone is defeated. And these Middle Eastern, these Arab fundamentalists have lost. They don't know it yet, but they have. And coming up, I'll tell you how. Right after this from Jane Fonda's workout tape. Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Hendry. You know, I lost weight. No, I'm just kidding. All right. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. We'll be right back with the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So here's a story here. Tariwa Hamamara or something. A young Palestinian woman had barely an hour's training in preparation for a suicide bombing. All she really needed to remember was how to work the detonator button that rested on her hip. But she had second thoughts about the attack, and instead of going to Jerusalem as planned, she went to her aunt's home in the West Bank. She was arrested shortly afterward by Israeli security forces. I didn't feel fear. I'm not afraid of dying. I went for personal reasons. I was afraid of how God would look on me if I came for impure reasons, the 25-year-old told a small group of journalists selected by the Israeli authorities. Another 20-year-old woman also backed out at her home near Bethlehem on suspicion. She was arrested on suspicion she had planned to take part in a double suicide bombing, but she also backed out, according to Israeli intelligence officials. However, a second bomber, a 16-year-old boy, struck last week in the Israeli city of Rishon LeZion, killing two Israelis. You know, history teaches you. You know, the other thing where I talk about history, it ain't because I think it was cool back in the good old days. Every time you bring up history to somebody, they go, oh, well, I guess you want to live in the 20s, huh? No, man, there's no better time to live than now. What do you think? I want scarlet fever, smallpox. And if I was born black and it was 1921, yeah, I'd really love to live. Anytime anybody asks you if they want to go back to the good old days of the family values, ask them if they're black or white when they get sent back. Ask Pat Robertson that. Hey, Pat, you know them good old days you're talking about? Are you black or are you white when you get born into them days? I'll send you back there, Pat. You're a black man shining shoes in Montgomery, Alabama. Now how's it feel? Anyway, let me tell you something. This is kind of a side note. Here's how I feel about race in America. I can't sum it up better than this. I can't. If I had been born black, you wouldn't be listening to this show right now because I'd be in jail for probably beating to death a white man at somewhere along the line in my life. Because I know myself well enough. I got a bad temper. No, I'm not a violent man, but I do have a temper. Now, I'm not a violent man necessarily, as I've never really been pushed to that much violence in my life, because in a lot of ways I've had a fairly easy time of facilitating myself through the professional world. But had I been born African-American, the same guy, same brain, same mouth, same talent, if you will, whatever that is, only I'm black, I wouldn't be doing... I'd be at county right now in the gang lockup. And instead of saying, hi, I'm Phil Hendry, I'm going to do some funny voices. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. I could do funny voices for you, man, if you let me out. I'm not letting you out, black boy. Yeah, you're not letting me out, black boy. How you white boy? Hey, all of you white men, it's just this part that's showing. That's about as funny as it would get me sitting down there on... I'd be in jail. Because I had to put up with half the indignation and crap that some people have to put up with in this world... I would have lashed out long before this, and I'd be in a jail cell, if not on death row, if not already sitting strapped into the electric chair. There you go. That's my feelings. Now, I'm moving along. Anyway, history tells us, and this is a cold, hard fact. You don't have to believe me, but it happens to be a fact, that when a nation begins to use its children as warriors, it's lost the war. We saw this recently in World War II. Germany began to conscript young men under the age of 18. I mean, they had 14, 15-year-old conscripts, young, fresh-faced, fuzzy-cheeked, punk kids going up against grizzled GI veteran Allied soldiers. They got cut to pieces. And it was a sign that Germany had lost. They had nothing in reserve. Now they were throwing their children into the meat grinder. In World War I, Tsarist Russia, before the Bolshevik Revolution, brave soldiers, but Russia lost, I don't know how many, 20 million soldiers in World War I. And in the very end, in the bitter end, they were throwing their children, little military academy cadets, throwing them up against seasoned German troops, Austrian-Hungarian troops, got cut to ribbons, butchered up. And, of course, we know what happened to Russia. The Bolshevik Revolution ensued. The Tsar and his entire family murdered. And history forever changed in the 20th century. And now we come to the 21st century, and the Islamic fundamentalists have lost this so completely that they're now throwing their children into the meat grinder, strapping bombs to them. You've lost, booby. You're a loser. Any society that so degrades itself. And you know what? I don't even know that having children as soldiers is a bad thing. I honestly don't. If you have a society that you're fighting to defend, and the only thing you have left are 15 or 16-year-old boys, and they voluntarily pick up a gun and want to go to war and defend their home, I'm not saying that's bad, but I am saying that when you've reached that point, you've lost. You ain't going to win. You ain't going to win. That's where they're at now. That's where the so-called Palestinians are at right now. And I say so-called because who knows what Palestine really is. It's part of Jordan, it used to be part of Egypt, a little bit of it was Syria, we don't really know. But all of a sudden we got a thing called Palestine, and all of a sudden we got a whole bunch of Palestinians who want to go back to their, quote, homeland. Before that, they were Jordanians and Egyptians, now all of a sudden they're Palestinians. And they have lost so completely that they've got a stumbling four-eyed bum like Yasser Arafat standing there in front of a microphone talking about how they're going to do a whole new thing with their parliament. And they're going to hold new elections, and they're going to do things differently. In any other society, in any other part of the world, that guy would have been fired at best, dead at worst. Any other part of the world, any other nation, Yasser Arafat would be a dead man. How does that guy keep going? In any event, he's going to keep right on going, man, into the hole, because they have lost when they're throwing their kids into it. A 16-year-old boy, when Arafat throws his kid into a shopping mall with a bomb strapped to him, then maybe I'll take him a little bit more seriously. How about that? Arafat, all the rest of you guys, start strapping bombs to your kids, then we'll start believing you. But the fact is, you have lost. It is the sign of a losing strategy when you start sending your children in as warriors. And as I said yesterday, and it bears repeating, there are just very small, not enormous, nothing that even would even be reported in the press, but very small ripplings now coming out of the Middle East that a lot of people are tired of having their public policy and their literally all of their words formulated by these fundamentalist jihad dickheads. And what was recently spotted in Cairo was the big billboard, as I mentioned to you, that said, Islam won't fix your car. The attitude being now, you know, enemies of God this, God is great that, we got to make the car run. We got to get the streets cleaned up, and we got to start making the toilets flush. And getting rid of Israel ain't going to make any of that happen any faster. Put a little of your energy into, like, getting a toilet to flush and getting the car to move, rather than blowing people up in shopping malls. You're going to look back on this page in your history as the darkest, blackest, most humiliating, most disgusting page in the history of the so-called Palestinian people. You're going to be ashamed till the day you die, man. And you know what else we got in America that you don't have? We got the new Anna Nicole Smith reality show. All right. You ain't going to get that over there. No, because the Islamic cats don't want you to have that. Check this out, huh? Big, fat, white girl like you ain't gonna have that. Excuse me. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686.
You see that story about that Arizona Cardinal, Pat Stillman? The guy's enlisting in the Rangers. He wants to go to Afghanistan and start dragging heads out of caves. Yeah. The guy's got a million plus dollar a year contract, and he's cashing it all in. He's going to go into the Army. He's going to go over there, and he's going to do the do. He's going to start sticking some guy's head on the end of a bayonet. I guess he's been watching too many movies, but no. It's a good thing. It's the first guy, they say, the first athlete in the National Football League to volunteer for military service since World War II. Although I think that's bull crap. I know there were a couple who voluntarily went to Vietnam. But this guy and his brother are going to go, and they don't want anybody to know about it. This apparently was leaked to the press by a friend or someone who knew peripherally of these plans, but they have given no interviews. They don't even want anybody knowing where they're going to be taking their basic training. The guy has just given up $1 million+ a year to go into the Army and become an Al-Qaeda killer. You know, if you think about it, everybody we got in the National Football League, baseball, hockey, basketball, these guys are some big, rough, tough guys, pretty well-trained, pretty disciplined, well, maybe not so much discipline. They're at the peak of their physical conditioning. Why don't we just draft a whole bunch of them? Why don't they reinstitute the draft, but the only guys that get drafted are like hockey players? There you go. We'd have to suffer through that. Just draft every basketball player, man. Just the sight of those guys coming up over the hill with that Kevlar helmet and that backpack scare like seven shades of crap out of any Al-Qaeda sitting up there cooking his goat dinner. Man. By the way, the NBA... Lakers down by one game? I think they suck. Lakers suck. You know, they had two good years there under Jackson. This year they couldn't get it together, man, if they had an all night, all day, and a ball of twine. Jesus. It's fine. Look, the guys have won I don't know how many championships. Some of these towns, the closest they come to a world championship is watching it on TV. And the Lakers have won some world titles, I don't know, 8, 9 times. Celtics have got 16. Who's counting? So they got a, you know, the three-peat, yeah, okay, Chicago did it. Well, this ain't no Chicago Bulls basketball team. Kobe Bryant ain't Michael Jordan. Give up that conversation while the getting's good. Are you putting me on? Hey, Kobe, I think he's the next Michael. Maybe, but when he got that haircut, guy stutter-stepped and choked more shots at the last few minutes of the basketball game this season than any guy I've ever seen in the history of mortal man on this planet. He didn't know whether he wants to take the final shot, whether he should dish it off. Everybody's telling him to be more of a team player. He ought to keep the ball. He doesn't know. He did that little stutter step against San Antonio. He coughed the ball up to that one guy. Lakers lost that ball game. Shaq he's hurt. They're leaning on him too much. They don't have the guy from last year. Was a good Horace Grant. He was tremendous. They don't have him anymore. They haven't got no clutch player, really. I mean, Horry can pump in the three, but they got nobody you can count on for a good outside shot there when a getting's good, man. Am I talking basketball? You bet. But there's larger issues. The Al-Qaeda is really what I'm talking about. If it wasn't for Al-Qaeda, the Lakers would win another championship, okay? Don't let the terrorists win, Sacramento. Lay down. Friday night, Sacramento Kings. They'll come to know what it really means to win an NBA title. They'll find out. You think it's exciting? It ain't. There'll be a parade, and then everybody will forget about it. There's nothing like winning a Super Bowl. Now, that is a championship. Nothing like winning a World Series. That's pretty good, too. Super Bowl's the best. Winning an NBA title is like, Lakers have won a few of them here, but this is a real basketball town, and I don't know, we got a couple of other sports teams here. It's okay. I went downtown one year when they won the title over the Celtics, sat there in the hot, blazing sun listening to Magic Johnson blather, got into a crowd of about 300 people, most of them Hispanic and black, so I was a little petrified, but no, I was fine. And I just kind of got moved around. I couldn't get out, so I just kind of went with the mob. We wound up somewhere down in South Central. And, you know, it was okay. Somebody threw some purple and gold confetti, and we all went home. And then I had to go back to my life. Winning an NBA title ain't all that. It's... You're the championship of what? And Rick Fox, can we finally get over the notion that he's a good basketball player? I'm kidding, Rick. You're a nice guy. You're married to that movie star, so I don't want to say anything. I'm just joking around. You know, you're kind of a, you know, nope, not that good. But anyway, you're all right. But Sacramento's going to go just all gaga. They win that championship up there. They're going to have, like, remember when Portland won the NBA title? It's, yeah, a real NBA town. Forget it. One title, that's it. They've been in the, you know, they got to the Western Conference a few times, and they're always challenging in the playoffs. That's, you only get one, man. Well, the really good teams, they win them multiple times. Chicago, L.A., Boston, the Knicks on some level. That's it. That's all we got. Then you got these teams winning them one here, one there. Remember when the Supersonics won it? Yay, whoopee. Remember when the Golden State Warriors actually grabbed a hold of the NBA one year? I'll never forget that. Who was that coach? Al Addles was their coach. And the Spurs, you know, and then they come and they go and you never hear from them again. The Kings will have that kind of a run. Better that the Lakers should win this three in a row. You got something to talk about. How are you going to keep on keeping on with this pumped up conversation about what an exciting transitional team the Sacramento Kings are? And hey, I'm really looking forward to a Kings-Nets series, man. Can't wait to see that Mike Bibby going up against that kid, that Jason Kidd. That's going to be a fun series. Oh, bullcrap. You going to watch it? I watch it for the, you know, I watch it for the, there's got to be a little bit of glamour associated to it, okay? But the Lakers ain't going to be there this year. The Lakers are not going to make it to the NBA Finals this year, so you can kiss that goodbye. Shaq, you're going to have another extra month, man, to put out that rap album. Because you guys suck on ice this year. You ain't going to win Friday night. Mark my words, you ain't winning Friday night. If you win Friday night, I'll eat my flat hat. The Kings will win, and they'll go on to play the Nets, and then we'll all be bored silly with that series, and then we'll have to sit through another 2 months of baseball before, finally, thank you, God, the NFL. And the exciting play of such teams as the Houston Texans, the Carolina Panthers, the Cincinnati Melons, the whatever the hell they're called. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
On this show, sometimes I play the part of a different character and I talk to myself, and some people call in thinking the guy's real. If you don't believe me, from yesterday's show, here is, quote, Bob Green, end quote, talking about the fact that he's got a surefire way for guys to get laid, dress as a fireman.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
You are taking a tragedy.
No, that's wrong. We're giving a percentage to the 9/11.
You are taking a tragedy. You are solidifying the memory of these true heroes.
How am I doing that?
So that you can get sex?
No, I'm giving a percentage of the fund.
How
of the
much
money.
Are you giving, Mr. Green?
How much is the percentage that you're giving?
I want to know.
We're giving a percentage. We're giving a sizable percentage.
15%, 20%, 40%?
Well, would it matter? In other words, let me ask you this. If I said that I was giving all of the money to them, then it would be okay with you?
Absolutely not. People can mail their money directly to the 911 fund.
No, but this why they get something for it. Otherwise, you're just sending
who's
money.
Who's getting what for it?
If you put on the fire department, you're a woman, ma'am, and you know what I'm talking about. These guys are real heroes.
No, you're right, they're real heroes. The people that you're talking about are people that are going to go and buy a costume to get sex? I mean, that's absolutely horrifying.
This is not a costume. It is a uniform that is worn by the fireman.
I know all about
the firemen.
No,
it's a costume.
My husband's a volunteer fireman in a small community. I know what they do.
Does he wear a costume? No, he doesn't. He wears a uniform.
He wears a uniform, and he wears it because he's a real fireman,
yes.
Not because he's going to buy one so he can go into a bar and pick up a chick.
Well, ma'am, you can send in your money, A, or B, you can send in your money to us, and you can have sex, which I guess you say that's bad.
No, Mr. Green, what I think is really horrifying is that you are taking the tragedy and you're trying to profit from it.
No,
and until you
my...
can tell me that 100% of this money
That's what I just asked you, and you said, no, it's no good anyway.
I want to know what you are. I think the people who are actually buy into this, I want to know where their money is going to go. I think they'd want to know, too.
If you send 100% of the money to the 9/11 fund, okay?
Then the two of you are saying it's okay.
I'm not saying anything. I want to know.
That's technically called being a whore.
When I'm saying, okay, I want to know.
You want to know what? All right, 10%. Like I said, it doesn't make any difference to you.
And 90% is going to go in your pocket, and for this, you're exploiting the tragedy.
I'm out $500,000 in production costs. I'm out. We got to do promotion. We have to do marketing.
You must be expecting a really big profit on this.
Ma'am, I'm going to tell you right now, and for the guys listening, every one of these Fire Department of New York guys got, and they're getting sex like, ass like a car rental. I mean, I don't know what yet.
Please watch your language.
Well, I don't know how I'm supposed to say it with her.
I can't believe this man is for real. You
look
think women are really this stupid that if you walk up in a costume, and how do you get legitimate firemen?
I didn't say women are stupid. I said right now women are feeling very insecure on account of these terrorists, and there's not a lot of real men around.
Let me ask you this. How do you get access to real firemen?
Oh, so you're going to walk, you'll walk by a guy wearing a uniform of a fire department, and you won't feel turned on?
No, I'll feel very proud that he's doing something worthwhile with his life.
I don't get it. You're not doing anything. How could you feel proud of it?
I would feel proud to see him walking in his uniform and knowing that he is actually
would you have
doing
sex
something,
with would you have
saving
sex with
lives,
would you
saving
have a,
buildings.
Would you have sex with him?
No.
See, that I question that.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know what, Bob? So do I. I think that fire department, I think that lady yesterday, she would have sex with a fireman. In fact, she does have sex with a fireman because she said her husband's a volunteer fireman. So what about that, huh? Yeah. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. How long do we keep on with that Phil Hendry Show comedy gold slug before we just throw? I love it. It's going to stay there forever. We're going to keep that going. Because, you know, it may not be that funny sometimes. It's funnier than anything else. We ought to have a bit competition in this business. Seriously. Every morning show, every guy that thinks he's funny, send your stuff to a big panel of judges. We'll send one of our bits. And, you know, all the rest of these guys can send in some of their cornball crap. And we'll see who wins, right? You want to know who's going to win? You got it, Don and Mike. Now, anyway, because Infinity probably owns the judges that, well, you know how it goes. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. The prize? What would be the prize? How about a coffee enema, courtesy of Dean Wheeler? Anyway, hey, did you read this? This is out of sight, man, and I predicted this. I predicted this, and now it's come true. Yes, Anna Nicole Smith is getting her own reality TV show. Just insert the name Pamela Anderson, and I predicted it. And I said it would be very compelling because who's kidding who? What does it take an absolute rocket scientist to figure this out? All you need to do to beat Ozzy Osbourne is put some hot-looking babe, some just absolutely fantastic bombshell sex goddess, just unending flesh, unending, going to the bathroom, taking a shower. Forget about whether the guy can put a bag in a freaking garbage compactor. How about her going to the bathroom? The camera zooming in between her breasts. Just like in Star Wars, you know when they're flying down in the cavern there? You know, that's a little steady cam down there between her breasts. Anna Nicole Smith, looking to go where no reality show has gone before. Cable Television's E! Has unveiled a new show about Anna Nicole Smith, the former Playboy playmate. And let me tell you something about E!, and I happen to know this. They're very nice people, but they'll put anything on the air. Seriously, they will. In fact, they were ready to put me on the air. And I said, doing what? They wanted to dress me up in a wig as Margaret. I remember this. I was talking with the president of the network, as a matter of fact, and she said to me, how about if we put you into different costumes and you can just rap like your characters? God, it doesn't sound like it's... You guys put much thought into this. Well, we don't really. We just throw crap on the air. And if it bombs, we take it off and we put more crap on the air. It's kind of a cool way to run a network in a lot of ways. The production cost is relatively low. You know, and if it hits, it hits. If it doesn't, you've always got content. What she wanted to do is she wanted me to get into the costume as Margaret, and Steve Kometko would play a straight guy. And then... The Osbournes, which airs on MTV, yada, 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 is about this old guy that fumbles around. E-President Mindy Herman, that's not the person I'm talking about, by the way, promises that the Anna Nicole Smith Show, which is set to debut in August, will give viewers an insider's look at the outlandish life of the former Guess Jeans model, who in March won $88 million in a court battle. Unlike Mary Tyler Moore, Anna Nicole will throw caution and not her hat to the wind, Herman said, alluding to the 1970s hit sitcom in which Mary Tyler Moore played a woman learning to live independently in a big city. Said Ms. Herman, I know I'm a female, and I know I'm the president of E, and I know that exploiting another woman is about as low as it gets, but I don't mind doing it in this fat cow and in this young lady's case. Us women have got to stick together sometimes, but when it comes time to make money, I don't mind exploiting some big, fat, blonde bombshell for profit, said Mindy Herman, E president. Certainly, Smith is independent, but she's already done a lot of living. She was the former this and the former that. She's from Texas. She's hillbilly trash. We know all about it. And she married that old guy. I love that old guy that she was married to, right? Like the guy was dumb and didn't know what was going on. You took advantage of my father. Oh, baloney. All the things that... What do you want? Take two. What do you want?
I heard that Anna Nicole Smith bit the head off a cow.
Great. Take two. Jesus.
I heard that...
I heard it already. She bit the head off a cow, huh? She bit the head off of something, I'll tell you that. And it wasn't no record company executive. When Marshall died, her old husband there, she expected to inherit half of his considerable fortune, but the son, Pierce Marshall, contested, and she only wound up with $88 million. Well, life's a roller coaster, Smith said. See, what we had the idea of doing, and people scoff and laugh, I said, you put a toilet cam there at Pamela Anderson's house, boom, you're there. You've won. You've won. You do 20 episodes of that, and it wouldn't get old either. It wouldn't get old. Unlike the Ozzy show, which, after a while, how many times is this guy going to fall down? How many times is he going to make a cup of tea? And but anyway, the idea of a Pamela Anderson toilet cam, now you're living, see? And everybody's going to tune in for that. And the TSL on something like that, well, the TSL, what I mean is the time spent viewing, I should say, would go up remarkably right after she has a big meal. What if the show starts off with her sitting in an Italian restaurant? Well, now you know the toilet cam is going to be great. So in the Anna Nicole Smith show that is going to go on E!, Mindy Herman said, as the president of E!, we have, okay, here it is right here, Chris, because you were asking about it. We have installed two cameras in the master bedroom toilet. So that right there. E!, at considerable expense, has put two cameras, one on each rim, in the master bedroom toilet. All right, so that's, that's very good. And got one in her closet, one in the bed, and all that stuff. Good. Good job. Don't forget our website. You can see the Craig Taylor toilet cam pictures that we've just put up. 1-800-449-8686, our number here. Our website, philhenryshow.com. And to order our CD, 877-616-7445. There, go. Go do something now.